This is Emma Bryan. I am here with Julie Schmidt, the Senior Director of External Affairs at KET. The date is June 1st, 2018. We are here in Julie's office in Louisville, Kentucky, and we are going to be talking about the Kentucky 225 Commission. So, Julie, could you describe just a little bit of the history of KET?
Sure. KET was established about 50 years ago. But really, it took 10 years prior to that of what we would call the campaign years of sharing the good idea of using technology and extending it across the Commonwealth to make sure that all people across the state have access to high-quality education and opportunity, especially when you think back 60, 50 years ago. You know, we didn't have the technology we do today, but we didn't even have the transportation ease that we do today with highways and so forth. And there was a real disparate from East Kentucky to Central Kentucky onto Western Kentucky of available school resources and quality teaching. So that's really what was the foundation of KET's Sure. beginning.
Okay. And could you describe some of the new directions that KET might be moving in?
Sure. Well, you know, we have stayed committed to education. That's still what we're all about. It's Kentucky Educational Television. And so everything that we do, we look at that as our bedrock. We still continue to serve schools. Literally every public school in the state uses KET. Our resources are used in classrooms across the state and across curriculums as well, from arts education to physics education to teaching STEM to preschoolers. So we're a real broad area in terms of serving K-12 and preschool children. And then in terms of lifelong learning, we have all kinds of great programming that's on air through KET. Literally have four channels, and so there's all kinds of good programming there that stimulate minds, from history, arts, culture, to how to sew, paint. There's all kinds of programming for any age.
Gotcha. Tell us about your position here.
Well, my title, External Affairs, which really means anything outside of KET. So what my goal is to work within the communities that we serve and find out what the pressing needs are and what are on the hearts and minds of the people, and maybe some places that KET could be a resource and better serve Kentucky. So, for instance, I serve on a workforce committee for the Chamber of Commerce and found that the essential skills gap was really a huge concern of employers. So KET found grant money, and we right now are producing workplace essential skills to help especially adult learners be trained on the important areas that they need to improve and to find good work, from writing a resume, how to interview, how to use communications properly at work, communications at work, and what it means to be a good employee. So those are some of the things that we're working on right now.
Gotcha. And how did you come to this position? What is your career background, your educational background?
There's an organization called Leadership Kentucky, which is an issues-oriented program really targeted for leaders, adult leaders. And so I helped start that program in the mid-80s, and that was based around really the issues that matter to Kentucky, from education, criminal justice system, economic development, health, and so forth. And so I was doing that work, and it really aligns with the mission of KET. So I joined KET about 13 years ago.
Gotcha. And how did that come to be, you being involved in
Leadership Kentucky?
Yeah.
I worked for the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce when we started it in the mid-80s. And so I guess I was a staff person already there and willing to do, you know, whatever it took to put it together. And so that's kind of how it came about.
Gotcha. And are you a native Kentuckian?
I am not a native Kentuckian. Okay. My parents are, but I grew up in the Air Force.
Gotcha.
And so we moved around quite a bit. And I should say, I wasn't the lead person on Leadership Kentucky. Former Lieutenant Governor and former Mayor Wilson Wyatt, who was with Wyatt Tarrant Combs Law Firm, he was the chairman. And Jim Wiseman was the executive director of the Kentucky Chamber. So I worked hand in glove with them.
Gotcha. Yeah, so could you tell us a little bit about your life growing up? in the
Air Force? Sure. My father was a B-52 pilot, so we lived on what they called SAC air bases, which is Strategic Air Command bases, and that's where the B-52s were housed. And so we lived in, I guess, 8 different states. And back in that time, they made sure those planes were located in pretty remote places in the United States where there weren't a lot of people around because of the Russian threat. So, but growing up on a military base, looking back on it, I feel so lucky because, I mean, literally every single day at 5 o'clock, if you were driving your car, you would stop in the middle of the road the minute the national anthem came on. And it came on every single day. Or if you're swimming in the pool as a teenager, you had to get out and shake, freezing, you know, as you had to do the national anthem with your hand over your heart. So I just really appreciate and so much honor the armed forces, the people that keep us safe, because freedom is not free. And there's so many that are dedicated, you know, each and every day to making sure America is free.
Yeah, and so how did you come to be in Kentucky after traveling?
Well, my father went to UK, and we always had a farm here, although we didn't live on it in middle Kentucky, central Kentucky. So I just came here from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, actually, which is 3 hours north of Chicago.
Oh, wow.
To Kentucky, but we'd always lived in the South before we moved up there for a stint. But Kentucky's always been home, although I, like I said, had not actually lived here.
Did you attend university?
University of Kentucky in Lexington. Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you get involved in the Kentucky 225 Commission?
Well, KET is truly committed to Kentucky and recording the history, and we look at that as a treasure, KET, in terms of making sure that our culture and our heritage is preserved. And so it was a natural fit for KET to be a part of the commission. And, you know, we were so thrilled to do it. We put on a lot of good programming that we had in our that we'd stored away and brought forward that really tied in to the whole legacy of Kentucky. And then in addition, we created some programming that we thought folks across the state would enjoy. So it was a great partnership.
Gotcha. And can you talk about those programs and what they were?
Sure. You know, it's really amazing. We had a documentary called Kentucky, an American Story. And it was a beautiful program with Paul Wagner, was the filmmaker. He's an Academy Award-winning filmmaker. And it was narrated by Ashley Judd. And it examined Kentucky history and mirrored the larger American experience. So that was pretty interesting. In addition, we had a program called Wilderness Road. And it really shared about, it retraced the route of the famous Pioneer Trail from Kingsport, Tennessee to Boonesboro, and gave perspective from a Cherokee teacher and a Laurel County farmer. So that was interesting. Daniel Boone and the opening of the American West was another. Mountain Born, the Gene Ritchie story, which is a famous Kentuckian. And then we had, KET had produced a documentary about Abraham Lincoln and his life back when they had the centennial celebration that was held here in Kentucky. So we had produced a beautiful program called I Too Am a Kentuckian, and we re-aired that as well. And there's many more that we chose to really highlight during that week.
Gotcha. And what was your specific role during this commission time frame? Did you attend the meetings? What did that look like for you?
Yes, I attended the meetings and tried to find a way that KET could connect and help elevate the goals of the commission. And so that's what we did. In addition, as I mentioned, we are used by schools across the state. So we made sure to align some of our educational resources that are about Kentucky history and made those available to teachers as well. So that was pretty cool. That was a digital asset project that they could tie into or go into our portal, and they could pull out any size video clip that would align to maybe content that they were teaching in the classroom. But it was all Kentucky history based.
Okay. And that was a part of the 225.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
All the way to the Civil War. There was just so many different elements that were tied together.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. So some of the other commission members and people that were involved with this initiative had kind of talked about the legacy of this commission and, you know, what's come out of it. And a lot of them have mentioned that the relationships formed between the different businesses and entities that were involved are really important. And that's the legacy of this commission, is that people in Kentucky are coming together and working towards a common goal. Do you agree? How do you feel this commission played out in the long run? Was it positive? How can we improve for our next celebration? What are your opinions on that?
Oh, I think that's absolutely right, because, you know, it really is about relationships and looking at ways that you can partner with others so you have a greater good and more impact. And so the folks that served on the commission were just wonderful, and that they wanted to find ways to connect and lift up each other. So there were a number of events that took place as well, and I made sure to attend those and support the different industries and different announcements. So it really was a great time. So and then that gives you an opportunity to think how you could work on other areas, you know, and continue to lift up the good that's happening here in our state.
Right. So moving right along, my next question was to describe your status as a Kentuckian. You've sort of done that a little bit. I didn't know if you wanted to go into more detail. I know that you said Kentucky is home, and your parents, were your parents originally from here?
Yes, my parents are both originally from Kentucky, and my grandparents as well. In fact, I found out recently my mother's family, they actually received land from the Revolutionary War and settled in West Kentucky. So that's something that we're really proud of course. And then on my dad's side, they've been here for a very long time. So, but Kentucky is just a place that, you know, you hear the old, when you ever see a Kentuckian, they're on their way home or want to go home. Mm-hmm. And I do think, having traveled the state extensively with the Kentucky Chamber, Leadership Kentucky, and now with KET, you know, you see that the pride of community and pride of family. And I think it's one of our strengths that we have as a state, especially as we go forward, you know, that differentiates us. I think that's really important to folks, that they really care about each other and community. And recently I was at a funeral in a rural area in central Kentucky, and the minister said this, and I never heard it said, but it made so much sense to me. He said that when you look at central Kentucky, Appalachian Kentucky, they don't necessarily say, "I love you," to each other, because that's just not part of their culture. But they say, "I love you," in the way that they support each other, that they band together to help farm each other's, you know, get each other's crops in together collectively. If a neighbor's in the hospital, they're mowing their lawn, taking food. So I think that fabric of community and caring really lives in this state. And I think it's something really precious, and I hope that will continue.
Yeah. And you also sort of answered this question as well. What makes Kentucky Kentucky that we can be proud of?
Really just that people matter, and their stories matter, and people want to celebrate that.
Yeah. And so in contrary to that, what makes Kentucky challenging? What are the challenges that we as a state and Commonwealth face?
You know, until you get out of your own surroundings, you don't always realize what other families are going through or struggling with. And I think, you know, working at KET, I feel really blessed that I get to get out of my own world and get to understand others and try and understand the plight and circumstances that other people have, and also try to, you know, provide pathways, solutions that will help people. And if that's, you know, getting your GED and then finding a job, because KET does offer GED preparatory courses. So our goal is, how can we get those to the people that have been sidelined for whatever reason, they didn't finish high school? How do you get to those people and help give them the tools so they can finish their education, continue their education, or find work? And so instead of playing a, you know, "I don't know about that, so I don't care about that," instead, we really seek to find out, what are the areas that we need to improve on, and how can we address them? And right now, workforce is a big issue. You hear that there are a lot of jobs going begging. Then we have a lot of people that aren't working. And then thirdly, unfortunately, right now, we have a lot of people that are on drugs or, you know, it's just a kind of a sad situation there. So what can we do to help people? And then the other thing I think in this state is a lot of jobs maybe left. The good manufacturing jobs had left. And I didn't live here at the time, but that's become more apparent to me that maybe people that weren't as well educated were kind of lost in the shuffle because they don't have the education to do the high skill jobs and the jobs that you could just go out of high school and go get and make a living wage and have benefits and, you know, health care and all for your family. They don't exist. So I think that kind of happened in our state. There's a big part of our population who got, left behind, if you will. And so our hope is to get a hold of those people and make sure that they know that we want to see them be successful and help them get the education or their children to make sure that they know about the opportunities, because there is a lot of opportunity that's ahead. And it's maybe not traditional, like advanced manufacturing. If you go into a manufacturing plant today, it's not a manufacturing plant of my era where you really didn't want your kids to go work in that. Where now, you know, those jobs pay well, they're high tech, they take a lot of skills, you know, it's a career. It's not necessarily just a heavy lifting type of job, a dirty job, you know. And the same thing, like maybe in healthcare, there's a lot of opportunity beyond being a nurse or a doctor. You know, all kinds of radioactive types of work you can do, radiology work, I meant to say, along with ultrasound techs. I mean, those are great jobs, but they require specific training and just getting that information out to especially young people so they can have a vision for themselves. And I'm hoping if we are really good at that, that would detour some of the drug problems that we're having, because sometimes it's hard to see a vision for yourself if you're not aware of it. So I think connecting that information and opportunity to people and families is really very essential.
Right. And so during the listening tours, we asked people, what is your vision for Kentucky in 225 years? Uh-huh. But I feel like that's kind of hard to fathom, and who knows what the world is going to be like in that long. So I like to ask, what's your vision for, or your hope for Kentucky in the next 20 years or the next 25, maybe at the 250th celebration? What do you hope Kentucky will look like? What do you hope we will be doing during those times?
Well, my hope is that every person in the state would feel meaningful and could have a meaningful relationship and maybe a meaningful connection to work or play or something. That is my hope, and that all children would be served. And if they have a learning difference, or if they're in a school that maybe the scores haven't been great, that there's a lot of attention put in that. So no child's left. The old no child left behind, but truly every child is lifted up and met wherever their needs are, and that they know that they are valued and they are loved and they are Kentuckians.
Gotcha. And how do you see KET doing those types of things or helping get there?
I think a couple ways. One, for KET to put a lens on areas where we have concerns and lift up solutions, number one, not necessarily just the problems, but also what are the pathways out and things that have worked, models that have worked, lift those up. And then bringing together community leaders who many minds together can help really implement some change and take back to wherever they live. And I do believe that not one person has the answers. You know, it takes many different people together. And even if you live in an urban area, you don't have all the solutions, and the solutions might come from a more rural area. You know, we need to all learn from each other. So KET is a place that we can bring together all that thought and share it out widely through either on air or through our website. There's all kinds of ways to tap in to KET as a statewide network.
Gotcha.
We are the only media in the state that goes into every home in the Commonwealth. some areas of the state get their news from other states. If you live in the southern part of the state, you're getting your news from Nashville, mm-hmm. or maybe you live over in West Kentucky, you maybe are getting it from Henderson or Evansville. And then Northern Kentucky, you know, they get it from Cincinnati. So we do have many different media markets that come into Kentucky, but KET serves all Kentuckians. And so that's something we take really seriously in terms of getting public affairs and issues information out to people if they're interested.
Gotcha. Well, those are all the questions that I have. Do you have anything to add either about the commission, about your position?
No, I think you asked really good questions. I don't know if you think I answered the 225 questions enough?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I know I kind of get on a roll, so.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.